ITS Coffee Break for Wednesday, February 27th, 2008.
On this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we'll talk about a new assessment pilot that's in the works. In tech news, we'll talk about a bill in Tennessee that eyes colleges and tries to make them stop online file sharing. We also have some new Google information, as well as a couple of interesting sites for your entertainment purposes. We'll also announce some workshops and some other information in upcoming help news.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. We're back in a timely manner.
That's right. I know you're all shocked.
My name's Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And let's see. First off in tech news this week, ITS tech news, we have the Waypoint assessment pilot for Moodle.
That's right. So this is a small pilot. Waypoint is actually a piece of software, a web app, if you will, that was developed actually by someone who actually teaches.
Woo-hoo.
Amazing, right? His name is Andrew McCann. He's the principal at Waypoint. And he was here last week to do a small demo of how to use the software. So those of you who use Moodle may have noticed, it's sort of hidden, so you may not have noticed, that at the bottom of your activity dropdown, there is something called WP Assessment. And what this allows you to do is get into Waypoint, create rubrics so that you can better quantify outcomes and benchmarks and things you're looking for your students to have achieved. So it's pretty interesting stuff. We're keeping the pilot relatively small, but if you are a faculty member and you're interested in taking a look at it, please give me a call and let me know.
Cool. All right. The next thing I just wanted to mention was that Jason Alley and I, instructional technologist, are going to Boston next week for DrupalCon, which is going to be, DrupalCon Boston. It's a pretty big Drupal convention. I think there's something like 800 people who've confirmed registered for the event. I think the convention itself has actually sold out.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good. So we're really excited about it. We use Drupal for the ITS website, and we use it for Soapbox. And we've got a couple of other things that we're looking to use it for, the library and special collections websites. So it's a pretty robust content management platform, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what people are doing with it, seeing how people are using it, what their plans are, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, at EduCalls, I did a poster presentation and talked about our uses of Drupal, and people were really interested because it is so robust and doesn't seem difficult to maintain, although I don't do it, you do. So.
Right, well, no, it's not. I think it's the hard part with any of these open source apps is keeping the modules current.
Yeah.
And picking the modules that are going to stay current.
Right.
And, trying to identify which ones seem to be being well maintained, and you know, someone could drop off the face of the earth tomorrow and then leave a module hanging if you're not careful. So that would be the drawback. But on the other side, Drupal has been getting a lot of support on the commercial side of things lately. Fast Company just relaunched their website, and they're doing it through Drupal. So some pretty big names are actually using it.
Very cool. So I hope you guys have a good time and bring back lots of interesting information.
Yeah, I think I'll probably post some blog posts to Soapbox about it while I'm there.
Excellent.
But yeah, I hope to come back with some cool ideas about what we can do with both the ITS site and Drupal.
Yeah.
And Soapbox.
So, and speaking of Soapbox, we have a class that's actually doing food blogging in Soapbox.
I saw that.
It's pretty cool. So I don't know if anyone has checked it out, but I would encourage you to go and take a look. It's a student English course, and they're all blogging about food and food-related topics, so it'll be interesting to see your topics from DrupalCon mixed in with their stuff.
Okay, so I guess we should never complain about a lack of tech news again.
That's right, because last week we complained and the news god said, I'll show you.
Exactly. We have a huge list. The podcast might actually go long because we have so much tech news. So what do you want to start off with? Blackboard?
Well, Yeah, let's get that out of the way. So I think we've mentioned in the past that there was this whole lawsuit brewing between Blackboard suing Desire to Learn, which is another course management system. And sadly, Blackboard has won.
Yeah, for patent infringement, right?
Yes, for patent infringement. So I won't get on a rant. I could very easily get on a rant. But, you know, we'll still watch what's going on. But I, you know, I can say I am glad to sort of be free from Blackboard at the moment.
Yeah, and at this point, I mean, if I remember correctly, Blackboard wasn't suing any of the open source foundations for Moodle or Sakai or anything like that. They were basically giving them a free pass, right?
Yes, currently.
Well, for now, they're giving them a free pass. Yeah. They were mostly going after Desire to Learn.
Yes.
But who knows? They could change their mind, right?
They could indeed. So that would be a sad day. So basically, just for those of you who haven't kept up with this, Blackboard was basically suing Desire to Learn for infringement, saying that things such as the use of roles to determine what a person can and cannot see in a course is something that Blackboard owns. Well, the interesting thing is that there's a standards document that was written prior to the filing of the patent by Blackboard, and the standards document talks about all of these things. And funny that the two co-founders of Blackboard were on that
crazy,
committee,
man,
that wrote it.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, it's just, I mean, I understand everybody's out to make a dollar, but, you know, this has become so integral to higher education and even, you know, K-12.
Right.
That,
right.
You know, it's just disappointing to see that going on.
Yeah, so who knows? We don't know if this is the end of the road for this particular lawsuit or if they'll keep on going. I guess it's a function of how much money the fine's going to cost them, right? Versus how much it'll cost to proceed. So who knows? So the next thing we want to talk about, talking about lawsuits.
So another ridiculous.
There's a headline on the Chronicle of Higher Education today entitled, Tennessee Eyes Bill to Make Colleges Stop Online File Sharing. And apparently this is because the University of Tennessee really likes to, or their students really like to pirate movies. And I guess music as well. So basically the Tennessee House of Representatives was going to pass a bill to force the colleges within the state to basically police what people are downloading from the internet.
So, of course, my big beef with this is that you are actually, if they pass this law, or by them passing this law, they're essentially saying that IT shops on college campuses should become copyright judges.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's basically not possible for us to determine what content is in a movie file or an MP3 or,
right,
you know. I can't look at a file and say, oh, this is copyright material.
Right.
So
I think a lot of these laws have a fundamental misunderstanding of how things work.
Yes.
You know, it's by lawmakers who think that things are, well, a series of tubes, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, so that was kind of a, and apparently there's some stuff going on at the national level too. So we'll just keep an eye on this, see what actually happens with it. Google Forms. Courtney was playing with this earlier in the week, and this is pretty nifty.
I
haven't actually tried it. Well, aside from your form, I haven't set one up myself, but this is nice.
It's so easy. So basically, anyone who has a Google account can use Google Sheets, which is a spreadsheet. And so there's this new functionality by which you can create a form, which is an online web form, that people fill out, and the responses get stored in a spreadsheet in your Google account.
That's so cool.
And it's so easy. I mean, you basically say, oh, I want to create a form. And it says, add your first question. And you tell it if you want it to be multiple choice or multiple choice would be radio buttons or checkboxes or fill in the blank. There's four question types. I can't remember the fourth one.
That's pretty cool. So then do you create the sheet first and then create
questions,
or
it creates the sheet? It creates the sheet. So you just say, I want to create a form. These are my questions. These are what I want them called. And then it sends you to a page where it says, okay, what do you want to do with the sheet now? Do you want to send it to a bunch of people in email?
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah, so, you know, I know here on campus we're using Openio for kind of our hard-hitting stuff, but I think, you know, this would be really helpful for people just working on projects with friends family and, you know,
I can easily see this using this for like just quick ad hoc projects that you're working on or quickly need to gather some information from folks. So you set up a form and boom,
yep,
you're good to go. Very cool. Very, very cool. So should we talk about the thing you don't want to talk about?
I guess.
Well, folks, there was a war. And Courtney picked the...
I picked the losing team.
The war would be between Blu-ray and HD DVD formats. And it's official that Blu-ray has now won. Toshiba has decided to stop making the HD DVD players. But apparently still going to support the ones that are out there.
Right. So if you want to pick up one for real cheap, like, go to Tiger Direct because they're like $90 right now.
Wow. Yeah, so I guess somebody had to win and somebody had to lose. And
yeah. It's very sad. So I guess I'll be investing in a Blu-ray player as much as I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll be investing in a Blu-ray player, but this might kind of bolster the case for getting a PlayStation 3 at some point.
It's not going to bolster my case.
Don't want a PlayStation 3?
No.
I don't have a real great desire, but it would help with, you know, the whole reviewing of video games thing that I do on the side. So
it would. It would, absolutely.
Of course, I'd need an HD TV.
This is true.
To kind of go with it, but... So I'm years away from this. That's what happens when you have two young kids, folks. You don't get to buy cool new toys. So anyway, the in shall we say, juicier news?
You could say juicier.
Oh, what a segue. Juicy Campus.
So there's this new crazy website out. We kind of went
crazy,
back and...
Crazy, stupid, weird.
Yeah, we went back and forth on whether or not to include this. But, you know, we feel like we should give a fair shot to talk about all kinds of things that relate to academics. And this doesn't really relate directly to academics, but it relates to college campuses.
Right.
So this new site called Juicy Campus is basically a gossip website where students go and, well, anyone can go and just anonymously post whatever garbage they want to post.
Right. And the controversy comes about because people at other campuses are using this to post posts about people's sexual reputations on campus.
Everything from that, though, to what's the best water fountain on campus.
Right. So the water fountain one's probably not the one that's causing much controversy.
No, probably not. But it's very bizarre.
Right. So it's just... It's crazy. So we got a link to it in the show notes, talking about basically how at Cornell, Pepperdine University, it's really big on their campuses, and there's all this, people are blogging about people. And whenever you start talking about people, you have the possibility of problems, right? But when you start talking about really personal type stuff, it gets really messy really fast.
That's right. So we thought it was dangerous for people to post pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know
if your previous biggest concern was getting tagged in a picture because you were holding a beer, this could be, I don't know, a lot worse.
Absolutely. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. I very seriously doubt that this will be like the next Facebook, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't know.
Stranger things have happened.
So for help tip this week, I came across something in, well, once again, Google, Google Reader this time, that I thought was pretty nifty. And this kind of goes back to, we've been encouraging people to use tools like Google Reader or Delicious or what are some of the other services? Well, those are the two big ones. Using these tools to generate RSS feeds that they can then use the RSS feed block within Moodle and pull it in, and you can have... headlines related to your class appear on your page. So there's a couple different ways to go about gathering these things and generating these feeds. And one that I came across just this week was in Google Reader, where in Google Reader, you can go in and you can tag a feed, an RSS feed is belonging to a specific category, right? You can then say, make this tag public, and it will generate a feed for that particular tag and have all of your posts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we've got we have the items in the feed. You can click on a story in the feed and say, tag this coffee break. Then you go into the preferences and say, make the coffee break tag public. And now I have a feed that everybody can check out of stuff that I've tagged as coffee break within Reader. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's a good way to share, you know, things that you found with people.
I think especially if you're like me, like especially with particularly with Coffee Break, most of the time when I'm looking for stories, I'm finding them through my RSS feeds. So if you're heavy into RSS, this is a great way to share posts.
Absolutely. So in other help news, we have lots of workshops coming up.
Deluge, I'd say.
We do. So the new, there was an email that went out earlier this week on Monday, and the first workshop was yesterday, and we have the listing posted on the ITS website, but basically there are workshops on a ton of things this time. So one's on recording audio and creating podcasts, so that's a fun one. We have these new audio kits available here in the library, so we're hoping that people will find those useful. Moodle for departments and organizations, Photoshop, Illustrator, Outlook, Microsoft Excel, mapping on the web, tons and tons of workshops.
Basically everything you need to finish those projects. That's right. Do at the end of the semester.
So check out the ITS calendar off the ITS website. We do ask that you go ahead and register so that we know how many people to expect. But you can do all of that online and we'll send you a reminder right before the workshop.
We also have a bunch of brown bags coming up. We're still finalizing the schedule on that, but amongst the topics that we're planning right now are Second Life, podcasting, and Clickers in the Classroom. The Clickers in the Classroom one's actually scheduled.
It is scheduled. It's March 12th, and Chris Rubeck will be talking about using Clickers in his 100-student course, Econ 101.
Yeah, so. Pretty cool. So that'll be in the Gwendabine room.
Yeah,
upstairs.
Jenna Bean, lunch will be served.
I can never pronounce that room right.
That's all right. That's all right. So we will have the complete schedule coming soon. Also, I just want to, you know, I don't know how many faculty listeners we have out there, but I did want to mention that we are looking to schedule something called a Moodle Showcase. So what we want to do is collect people who have used Moodle in interesting ways. Doesn't have to be just, you know, extremely inventive, but you know, something that's worked, using a certain tool to, you know, do an assignment, things like that. So we're hoping to do that toward the very end of the semester, maybe do a preview of what Moodle should look like next semester when you get back. And so if you're interested in joining us on the Moodle Showcase, you can pop us an email.
Right, and you can send us an email at itsblog@lafayette.edu, or you can log into Soapbox with your network ID and leave us a comment in the show notes.